Good morning. It's great to see everyone out today. Do we have any special guests visiting with us today? If you are, would you please stand so we can recognize you this morning? Any special guests? It's all home, folks. It's great to see everyone out today. I hope all of y'all attended Sunday school this morning. We're talking about missions. You know, missions is right where we are every day, what we do every day. And, you know, it's talking about how we can pray for missions. We need to pray for courage. We need to pray for compassionate workers. We need to pray for conversions. And when we pray and ask God, you know, to help us, we can expect great and mighty things to happen for his glory. And A.B. Simpson said, prayer is a mighty engine that moves missionary work. And only God can transform lives. Sometimes we go out there and do something on our own and we want God to join us. But, you know, we need to pray. We're short, you know, people when we don't pray before. We need to pray that God will soften their heart as we go talk to them. And it's not us that saves them. Only God saves them. So if you're not in Sunday school, get in Sunday school. We got some awesome lessons this month. Okay. So, Angela will be doing the announcement on Happy Birthday, Jesus. Seasoned saints are collecting non-perishable food for Christmas baskets. Back in the usher's table, there's a box back there that you can put the food in. If you want to give money, you can see Sue Estridge or Darlene Fletcher. And also, on December the 21st at 11 o'clock, they are having a Christmas celebration, and everyone is invited if you are 50 and over. So keep that in mind. And also RSVP by December the 7th so they can have a head count. And you need to RSVP back to Mildred Lamar. Okay? And I noticed that we have the Lord's Supper this morning. Let's pray that God would prepare our hearts as we do that. And you know, when we were in Sunday school, we were talking about we need to pray when we enter the worship service. We want God to be in here. And we saw how that the Holy Spirit, the place was shaken because people were in one accord and praying for God to do mighty things. And we should pray every time we come in here that we see God do mighty things in our lives as well as in other people's lives. And we need to talk to one another and encourage one another. Sometimes, we just talked this morning, sometimes just a smile could change somebody's whole life. Just imagine it. Just being kind to somebody. When you see people on the street, just pray for them. You don't have to know who they are. Just pray for them that God will help them. If you see a homeless or if you see somebody on the side of the road broke down, I've sympathized with them because I've been there. Just pray for them that God will help them. And pray for the ones in the service today and pray for Brother Malone as he preaches today too. Continue to pray for our pastor, for his health, and to get stronger every day. Thank you.
The preschool department's going to be hosting a Happy Birthday Jesus celebration on Wednesday, December the 12th from 6:30 to 7:30. And they're asking that each family bring a shoebox and fill it with items like toys, candy, lotion, comb, brush, and Janine was mentioning that they're also looking for like towels and washcloths and those kind of things this year in particular. And it'll be a great time. I hope to see you all there. The whole church is invited. Thanks.
Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, to give. Born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to give mankind new love, new birth. So ring the bells, oh, ring the bells. Let the whole world know Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago.
You know, it's the Christmas season, the beginning of it, and we get so wrapped up in all of the secular things with Christmas that we tend to forget a lot of times the true purpose and meaning of Christmas. But that is, it's not a familiar Christmas song, but it's my favorite Christmas song because it tells the entire story of Christ's birth and his love for us in an exciting way by ringing the bells. Remember years ago, back when we had smaller communities, the church bell would ring whenever anything exciting was going to happen. And that's what this song is about. We don't have smaller communities anymore. And some churches do have bells. We actually had them years ago here for a short time, but I think the neighbors complained when we played that early in the morning on Sunday morning, so we would have did away with them. But anyway, you know, that song tells the entire story of Christ, that God came to earth to live and to die for us so that we could have eternal life for him. But then our responsibility is to go out and spread that word and to tell it to other people. I read recently that outside of Bethlehem, there is a small cathedral that has been built over the spot where they suppose that Christ was born. And you can go into that cathedral and admire it and look around, whatever. But in the back of the altar, I'm told that there is a cave. And this cavern is lit by silver lamps. And in the floor of this cave is a star that's embedded that indicates that Christ was born. And the only thing about, you can go into the cave too, but the only thing is the door is so low that you have to stoop down to go in. Well, you know, when you stoop down and bend, that is an act of reverence, showing humility. And that's exactly the way we need to be when we come into this sanctuary to worship Christ each Sunday. So that's how we need to be, is to kneel down on our knees, to come in, worship God, praise him, and then go out ringing the bells, telling others that Christ was born so that we could have eternal life. And not just eternal life, but that our life here on earth can be better. So as we come now into our service, let's prepare our hearts to worship and to praise the Lord.
Thank you. morning. Would everybody stand with me? We're going to read the responsive reading. You all will be reading the darkened print, and I'll be the lighted print. It's responsive reading 698. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, after the same manner, also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink, in remembrance of me.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In unison, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
I heard an old story. Good morning. It is time for our altar prayer. If you'd like to, please come to the altar. Let's join our hearts in prayer. And we know just a little talk with Jesus does make it right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today and to come before you at the altar, dear God, and just to be in this place, dear God, coming before you wherever we are, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, a loving Father who loves us and sees us and cherishes us as your children. And we thank you for that, dear God. We reverence you, your holy name, dear God. We're thankful because you are so loving, so kind, so compassionate, dear Lord, so merciful. So forgiving, dear God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that just as you are so loving, you're all wise. You know everything, dear God. You know the deep secrets, Lord, that sometimes may keep us from coming to you, dear Lord. But we're thankful because we can come to this altar and we can just pour out our hearts before you. We thank you, Lord, because you are all powerful. Nothing is too difficult for you, dear God. And we come, Lord, recognizing that we can come and lay our burdens at your feet. You tell us, Heavenly Father, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us so much, dear Lord. So, Father, whether we're dealing with whatever we're dealing with, thank you, God, for being there for us and bringing us through. So, Lord, if it's relationship issues, we lay them at your feet and ask you to intervene. And, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, if there are financial struggles, we bring those to you, dear God, because we know the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to you. Father, if we have health issues, physical issues, mental issues, spiritual issues, dear God, emotional issues, dear Lord, we know that you are the great physician and you can heal, dear God. We're asking you, Heavenly Father, just to have your way among us. Lord, you know what we are in need of, and you tell us to ask, you tell us to seek, you tell us to knock, and you said the doors will be opened unto us. So, Father, we do that with faith in you. Lord, we confess that you are holy and we are sinful. And yet you say there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Lord, we come to you, we're confessing our sins before you. We're not going to try to excuse the sin that is among us and in us. We're not going to try to deny the sins that we've partaken in, Lord. We're not going to try to make excuses, dear God. We're not going to try to hide behind the sins that we've committed, dear Lord. Father, we won't try to call them by some other name to make them sound better, Heavenly Father. But we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And Father, you're the one that says it's by you that we can be saved. Heavenly Father, you set it up that you're the only God who can save us through Jesus Christ, Lord. So we come confessing our sins and we ask you, God, to forgive us, to even give us the power to turn from our sins, dear Lord, and to draw nigh unto you. Father, we come confessing our sins of unforgiveness, of not being loving and compassionate, of trying to do things our own way and making a mess of things, dear Lord. We come confessing, dear Lord, that we can't do anything without your strength. Father, even worshiping you, we need your Holy Spirit to help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to get out of the way. Help us to focus on you and not be distracted, dear Lord. Help us not to leave this place just like we came in, dear Lord. God, we want to have an encounter with you that is undeniable, Heavenly Father. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill this place, dear Lord, in the singing, in the praying, dear God, in the giving, dear God. Father, you ask, your word says, will a man rob God? Oh, God, we confess we've been stingy. We've been greedy. We've just sucked up your blessings and not tried to bless other people, dear God. We've neglected, dear God, to do what you would have us to do with our time, with our energy, with our resources. Heavenly Father, would you shake us out of our complacency? Wake us up out of this laziness, dear Lord. Help us to commit, Father, to further be in service for you. And God, we acknowledge we can't do anything. Not one ministry means anything without you, dear Lord. I pray that you will give us the right attitudes, the right spirit. Send workers into the vineyard, dear God. Send compassionate workers and committed workers, dear Lord. Because there are some among us who are stretched to their limits, dear Lord. And they need help, dear Lord, to do what you would have them to do. We all need you, dear God. So we come and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you provide for your children what we need to glorify you. Father God, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to point others to Christ, dear Lord. Not just within these four walls, dear Lord, but as we go daily, dear Lord. Help us to be sensitive to opportunities to witness for you. Lord, we know that the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. Father, I pray that you give us compassionate hearts for those who are dying in sin, for those in need of a Savior, dear God. You love us so much, dear God. And it's not so that you loved us so much you said it, but you love us so much you gave. So, Lord, help us to connect loving and giving, dear God. Help us, dear God, to glorify you, dear God, in our giving, Heavenly Father. We need you, Heavenly Father. Help us to recognize that when we think we know it all, when we think we figured out how things ought to be, help us to remember your ways are above our ways, Lord. Your thoughts are above our thoughts, Heavenly Father. You've told us to trust in you and lean not to our own understanding, dear God. You've taught us in all our ways to acknowledge you. St. Paul is your church, Heavenly Father. Help us to remember those, dear Lord, who have given to this church. Help us to know that the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Or against the church, dear God. Help us to know we're already victors. We've already got the victory, dear God, because you are victorious, sovereign God. You are in control, and nothing takes you by surprise. Help us to rely on your strength, dear God. Help us to rely on your wisdom, dear God. Help us to rely on your provision, dear God. But I pray in the name of Jesus, you will bless the under shepherd of this church, dear God, who seeks wisdom from you, who loves you, dear God. I pray for every ministry of this church. Help us to always point others to you, dear Jesus. We just thank you and we praise you, dear God. Help us to look at one another and see an expression of you. Help us, dear God. I pray for those who are homebound, who want to be here today, who can't. Let us not forget them, dear God. Father, it's like the charter members, Lord. It's like they planted trees and we get to enjoy the shade. Let us not forget them, Lord. I pray that you would be with those who have lost loved ones, Heavenly Father. But I pray in the name of Jesus that if there's someone here who needs to know you, dear God, to accept you as the Lord and Savior, that they will not leave this place without coming to know you as their Savior, dear God. Now I pray that you be with Brother Marvin. I pray that you will speak through him. Speak through your word, dear God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be evident, dear Lord. I pray that this place will be shaken in the name of Jesus, dear God. Lord, thank you. Help those of us who are Christians to uphold the name of Jesus. Father, we don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to offend you. We don't want to disappoint you, Heavenly Father. God, we don't want to make you angry. We know you are a just God. And we forget about sometimes, dear God, about the fact that you are just. Yes, you're merciful, dear God, but we don't want to see your wrath, Heavenly Father. We pray for this country. We pray, dear God. We know that leaders can't be there unless it's your will. You allow them to be there, but in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will change communities, change the neighborhoods, dear God, change the state, dear God, change this country, dear God, oh, because of the wickedness that's in this country. Father, I just pray that you will intervene. You have your way, Heavenly Father. Have your way and let it start with us, dear God. Let it begin in me, dear God. We're just broken vessels, Lord. But you're the potter. We're just the clay, dear God. We're broken pots, dear God. But you can use us. Use us to your glory. We thank you. And we praise you for your goodness, dear God. Help us to get out of the way and let you be God. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Church, say amen. If you weren't moved by that fervent prayer, you need to come back again. Amen. Thank you, Ava, for that prayer. Let me say good morning. What a wonderful, wonderful time to be here today. This is our first Sunday of December. It's the first Sunday of the holiday season, and it's just good to be here. thank God for this opportunity and this privilege to come and share with you on this Lord's Day, the Supper, Lord's Supper Day. If I could get all the officers to come, and Reverend Mucker and Reverend Brockington to come and share, help us with our service this morning. Amen. Amen. Bible says, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. At this time, I would like to get Reverend Mucker to ask God's blessings upon the bread, and Brother Reverend Brockington would ask God's blessings upon the fruit of the vine.
Let us pray. Father God, we do ask your blessings upon this bread that we are about to partake that represents thy body. Just cleanse us, Father, and help us, Father, during this time, during this part of the service. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you and we just praise you. Lord, we just pray, Father God, for your blood, Lord, the washing of your blood, Lord. Let it wash us, Father, and cleanse us. Let us do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Has everyone been served? The greatest sacrifice that has ever been made was the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Let us eat and drink together. The church say amen. This concludes this part of our service. Thank you.
Now time for our offertory worship. Let's prepare our hearts for giving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, dear Lord, to come and worship you in our giving. Lord, we thank you for all that's taken place thus far. We pray that you continue to be with us, Lord, as we carry out this worship service. We pray, Lord, you be with us now, and as we prepare to give, may we be cheerful givers and take you at your word, dear Lord, and give what you have commanded us to do. And we pray, Lord, that you bless what is given, Lord, and then may it be used to uplifting of your kingdom. Bless those that have it to give, and bless those that have it not. And we ask this, Lord, in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Adore him, kneel down before him. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Glad to be in the house of God this morning. Pastor Bingham, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the gospel at the church where you're the under-shepherd. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Glad to be with you this morning. Been gone a couple of weeks, so I'm just glad to be back here. This time last, I'm getting the nervous energy out, y'all. Y'all know that. Last week this time I was in Denver, so I'm just glad to be back here this morning to be with you. I believe there is a word from God this morning for us. And it's found in the book of Romans chapter 8. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Thank you, God, for who you are, what you have done, and for what you're yet to do. I ask, God, that you'll bless this waiting congregation. Let no flesh glory in your presence. Bless us only you can, God. Save, heal, strengthen, and deliver. Prove yourself for your glory, God. For every curse, every demon, every devil, every imp, every witch, every warlock, prove yourself you're the Lord of hosts in our lives. For every area of barrenness, God, prove yourself that you'll make us fruitful. God, for every area of lack, God, prove yourself you'll supply our need. God, so we ask, God, that you would hide me behind the cross. Let no flesh grow in your presence. Bless your people now. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 31. I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, so if your Bible might be a little different from this translation, but I assure you that we will make it plain. And Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the Message Bible reads, beginning at verse 31, "So, what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us." Let the church say amen. I want to speak to you for a few moments from this subject. We can't lose. Let the church say, we can't lose. Now, this is participatory, so we'll get through here. Let the church one more time say, we can't lose. Brothers and sisters, there is no point in trying to avoid battles in life. They are inevitable. As Christians, we are guaranteed to experience affliction, persecution, adversity, and trials. However, God has promised us an absolute victory in every situation we face. However, our job is to fight the good fight of faith, to remain steadfast where God's word is concerned. By refusing to be moved from what God has said in the Bible, we activate our faith. We rise up in authority that's invested through Jesus Christ. We can walk out of any battle triumphantly. Brothers and sisters, in this life, many times the dilemmas, however we find ourselves in, have nothing to do with the devil. Let the church say amen. Sometimes our battles have everything to do with the choices that we've made. When we refuse to follow God's instructions and do things the way he would have us to do, we end up in unnecessary affliction and hardships. But even when this happens, God's love is in hot pursuit of us.
His grace is his willingness to get involved in our situation and circumstance. We can have confidence that he is sustaining us and he will help us even when we make senseless mistakes. We really can't lose. However, how you handle yourself in the midst of the battle makes the difference. One of the most important things we can do is be mindful of the power of our words. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Bible says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Whatever you believe, you must speak." Let the church say amen. Whatever is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth eventually and make known what you really believe. Let the church say we can't lose. As it relates to the believer, our faith is evident by how we live and for sure about what we say. If we claim the promises of God that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, we demonstrate our belief and foremost by declaring it. When it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we must declare it. Let the church say we can't lose. Well, brothers and sisters, using the word of God in spiritual battles is guaranteed to get results. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that will cut to pieces the snares of the enemy. Whatever is coming against you, whatever you find coming against you, you must speak in your mouth what's going on in life. And brothers and sisters, we really cannot lose. No matter what's going on in your life, we can't lose. However, in this life, be it business, sports, entertainment, and even the church, everybody wants to be associated with the winner. Everyone wants to win. In Louisville, on the first Saturday in May, they talk about the Kentucky Derby, who's going to win the big race. In November, the talk is about the Cats and the Cars football game. In December, it's talk about who's going to win the basketball game between the Cats and the Cars. We talk about the NCAA basketball tournament. We talk about the NCAA Final Four in football. We talk about who's going to win the Super Bowl. We talk about who's going to win the NBA championship. Somebody woke up this morning wondering, did I hit the pick 3 or pick 4? Hallelujah. Even in the church, there is a competition of winning. I tell you, it seems that everyone is obsessed with having the winning hand. I didn't have the Kentucky Derby winner last year. I didn't have the winning NBA team last year. I didn't have the winning NFL team last year. I didn't have the winning Powerball because I didn't play. I didn't have the winning pick 3 or pick 4 because I didn't play. I didn't have the winning NCAA basketball team, but I did have the winning NCAA football team. Roll Tide. Yes. And so even in church, I have not won every time. In my personal life, I have not won every battle. I've lost some battles. And even right now, I know there's some haters don't even going to plot against me to lose again. But I stopped by this morning, church, on my way to heaven to tell you, St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights, we can't lose. And brothers and sisters, I remember growing up in Huntsville, Alabama there, my mom used to turn on the radio, the gospel hours. There's a preacher who would come on named Reverend Ike. His slogan was, "You can't lose with the stuff I use." Now, I don't know if he really possessed the power to back up his statement. However, Reverend Ike wasn't the first person to preach it to say that. Some 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. He just said it in a different way. In Romans chapter 8, we see basically Paul saying the same thing. Paul was saying that we are guaranteed to win. We can't lose. Paul's statement was backed up by heaven. What Paul was saying was, we can't lose with God on our side. Romans chapter 8 has been called the inner sanctuary within the cathedral of the Christian faith. Romans chapter 8 has been called one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. If the Bible was a ring and Romans was its precious stone, then chapter 8 would be a diamond. Romans chapter 8 is a magnificent response to the issues raised in Romans chapter 6 and 7. One could argue that Romans chapter 8 is the central chapter for the whole epistle of Romans. Everything in chapter 1 through chapter 7 leads up to it, and everything through chapter 9 through chapter 16 grows out of it. And so in Romans chapter 8, he begins by with no condemnation. He ends with no separation. And sandwiched in between is no defeat. This chapter sets forth the gospel, the plan of salvation, the life of freedom and victory, hopelessness for the natural man and righteousness for the twice born, and the comfort and aid of the Holy Spirit. With chapter 8, we arrive at what's called the inspirational highlight of the book. Here, Paul is not just talking about words. He's not mere theology. Paul is speaking of what Christ has done. He gives evidence in his pen. So when we get to Romans chapter 8, Paul is unshakable in his confidence and his love for God. And he feared no tangible hardships, no intangible fears could creep in his life. So when he gets to Romans chapter 8, he's talking to the believers. He's talking about what he's been through and what God will do for the believer. And so with all that he said earlier in this chapter, verses 28 through 30, he gets to the point in our text this morning where Paul asks a question, and he wanted to know, and we must know, that he's talking to the believers, because when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he hadn't visited the church. So he wrote the book with in mind that he was soon going to visit them. So when he gets to our text, he writ it, and Paul is writing, he says, with God on our side. Some translations say, if God be for us, who can be against us? But I like the Message Bible. It says, with God on our side, like this, how can we lose? Let the church say we can't lose. Brothers and sisters, everybody wants to claim that God is on their side. Right now, as I speak, over in the Middle East, war is raging. Folks are killing in the name of God. As a matter of fact, those people call it a holy war. Both the Israelites and the Palestinians believe that God is on their side. Right now, both America and Al-Qaeda brag about God being on their side. America preaches God bless America, but Al-Qaeda proclaims God curse America. They both sincerely believe that what they're doing is right. And folks, I don't care how sincere one is, it's possible to be sincerely wrong. Some people believe that God is on everybody's side. You know, some people believe, but Paul wanted us to know that this "we" in the text is an all-inclusive group. It's not all-inclusive; it's an exclusive group because Paul is speaking to believers. Paul is not talking about anybody and everybody. While the gospel welcomes whosoever will, Paul is talking about those who have answered yes to the cause of Christ. The "we" in this text is the individual who's been justified by their faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, I hate to burst your bubble, but I have to tell you that you cannot claim to be born again and continue to live any old kind of way. You can't just live any kind of way. The Bible says if any man or any woman is in Christ, they become new creatures. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become brand new. It also says that we must change the way we think. The Bible says, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change how we see. So Paul is speaking to people who are walking by faith. Paul is speaking to people who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Paul is talking about the royal people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. Paul is talking to people who've come out of the marvelous, out of darkness into the marvelous light. This "we" that he's talking about is the ones who love God, who's trying to obey God, who own your way to God. And so if you're one of the folks who go alone to get along, and most of the time you can be found lined up just trying to get in where you fit in, this "we" might not be speaking to you. If you're always raising hell, keeping up hell, and can be found in the midst of hell, this "we" might not be referring to you. Paul is talking specifically about the child of God, the guaranteed of victory. And so Paul, in Romans chapter 8, he gives us a prescription for how we can be successful as we walk this journey. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30, Paul speaks of all that we would go through in the first 30 chapters. And then in verse 28, he gets down there and says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say everything makes you feel good. He doesn't say everything that happens to you is good. He doesn't say that everything that happens to you is for your good. But because of the Spirit of God, God works with us for the good of those things. So Paul, in all verses 1 through 30, gives us an antidote. And so then in verse 31, Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, or since God is for us, who can successfully be against us? Paul says, so what do you think, church? With God on our side, with all that he's done for us, How can we lose? What has God done? In verse 1 of this chapter, he says, there is now no condemnation. He says, Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. He says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says if we walk in the Spirit, God dwells with us. He says one day the Spirit will quicken our mortal bodies and we will rise to meet him in the air. And so Paul says, with all that I've said, what do you think with God on our side like this? How can we lose? Paul wants us to understand that we can't lose. And there's four things, and then I'm going to get on out your way, and we can go eat some chicken. So Paul says, how is it that we can't lose? The first thing is that we can't lose is we have ultimate power. Let the church say ultimate power. Paul in verse 31 says, since God is for us, who can be against us? When he says that, he's not talking about position. He's talking about our relationship with God. God is before us. He's behind us. He's on the left. He's on the right. He's all around us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Everybody got something on their agenda. Brothers and sisters, we all face challenges from our bodies getting sick, disease, aches, and pains. We have people who hurt us, people who disappoint us. We have setbacks. We have people setting traps against us. We have circumstances that don't go our way. And spiritual defeat comes when it appears that the enemy has greater power than our God. But Paul says, who can be against us? The logical answer is that no one can. So we have ultimate power in God. How do we beat Satan? By recognizing that we have a God who sits high, he looks low, and comes to see about our situation. Brothers and sisters, whatever the disappointment, whatever the difficult circumstance, whatever is going on in your life, whatever hell and haters that are on your agenda, with God, you and God make a majority, and you have his power. So we can always win when we recognize that God is on our side, we have his power, and the power is backed up by heaven. Young folks, if you're trying to do right, live right, and please God, be encouraged. With God on your side, it doesn't matter how many classmates talk about you. You can't lose. It doesn't matter how many folks make fun of you. You can't lose. For those who are lonely and by yourself, be encouraged. With God on your side, he'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll tell you you're his own. You can't lose. To those who don't know how you're going to make it, be encouraged. With God on your side, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll make it. Hallelujah. You can't lose. To those who are depressed and discouraged, be encouraged. With God on your side, with the power of the Holy Spirit, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, Jesus' joy, comes in the morning. We can't lose because we have God's ultimate power in our lives. Let the church say ultimate power. So the question often is, can God handle my problems? But will God handle my problems? And Paul answers this question. He answered it in verse 32. We can't lose because we have ultimate power, but also we can't lose because we have unlimited supply. Let the church say unlimited supply. Verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Let the church say all things. Brothers and sisters, suppose a man comes upon a child being beaten up by thugs. He jumps into the middle of the bunch, rescues the boy, and takes him to the hospital. The young boy is nursed back to health, and the man pays his bills. He learns that the child is an orphan, so he adopts him as his own. He gives the boy his name, and then 9 months later, the father hears his son sobbing in his pillow in his bedroom. He goes to ask him what is wrong, and through his tears, the boy said, Daddy, I'm worried. I'm worried about tomorrow. Where will I get food to eat? How will I get clothes to stay warm? Where will I sleep? As you can imagine, the father is disturbed. He says to his son, haven't I shown you? Don't you understand? I risked my life to save you. I gave my money to treat you. I gave you my name and called you my son. Would I do all that and not meet all your needs? Well, that's exactly the question Paul raises. Would God go through all the pain and trouble to send his son to die for you and for me, and then all of a sudden forget about us? No way. Paul reminds us that God has way too much invested in all of us. No matter where you are in life, the Father will not forget about his Son. You belong to God. He's yours and you're his. And so with that in mind, Paul makes it plain saying God has unlimited supply. He gives us all things. Paul was confident to assure his readers that they will never be defeated because of a lack of supply. And brothers and sisters, that good news. It doesn't matter whether you're faced with the record of your past or confronted with the problems of the present. With God on your side, you don't have to worry about the outcome. He's going to give unlimited supply. There may be overwhelming odds against you, but God plus you is a majority. You can't lose. He is going to give you unlimited supply because it's in his word. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. He gives us unlimited supply. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom should you fear? Because God hadn't given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He gives us unlimited supply. Satan attempts to defeat us by severing our spiritual supply. Yet Paul reminds us that God will supply every need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So when you need strength, we have an almighty God. When you need healing, we have the great physician. When authority is required, we have the kings of kings. When peace is lacking, we have the Prince of Peace. When the supply line of heaven is never blocked up, is never stopped, God's going to always supply, because if you just stir up the gift inside of you, the Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he within the world. You have an unlimited supply. You just got to access the power. Let the church say unlimited supply. Brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that we can't lose. We have the ultimate power. We have unlimited supply. But listen to this. But even if we realize that God's love is such that he won't forget about us, then we are confronted with another thought. If God never forgets about us, then he also doesn't miss what we do. Oh, Lord. If he don't forget about us, he don't miss what we do. And we realize all of us have done some things that have not made God very happy. Let the church say amen. And so Paul brings up the next two questions to help us understand that we can't lose. Paul says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? We have God's ultimate power. We have his unlimited supply. And then, brothers and sisters, we have forgiveness. Let the church say forgiveness. If we have been justified by God's grace through faith, we stand and we can't be charged with anything. The charge that was before us, that we were guilty. However, being justified means that we have been declared not guilty by God. The charges have been paid. God paid the cost for us to stand in his presence unguilty. Paul says, who is he that condemned? And brothers and sisters, all of us have heard condemning words of the enemy. All of us have heard the enemy try to whisper us that we're too dirty. We've messed up too many times. We don't think right. We don't do right. We've heard the condemning words from the enemy. But brothers and sisters, in this the first verse of this chapter says there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. We have forgiveness in God. The words of condemnation come from Satan. We call him the accuser of the brethren, who stands day and night accusing us in the presence of God. But thank God for Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, we are God's elect, chosen in Christ and accepted by Christ, so we have forgiveness in God. Your Christian experience changes from day to day, but justification never changes. That's good news right there. Hallelujah. Because all the time I'm not walking right. Sometimes I'm walking wrong, Pastor Bingham. Sometimes I'm thinking wrong, but I thank God I have God's forgiveness, because my Bible says in 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, when we look at verse 33, 34, it is the setting that there's a divine courtroom. It's though Paul gives us the reasons why we can have forgiveness because of Christ's death, his resurrection, his exalted position, and his continual intercession. I thank God that Jesus is interceding on my behalf right now. In verse 26 and 27, it says the Spirit intercedes. But right now in verse 34, it says Christ intercedes for us. Brothers and sisters, that's good news that we have a high priest who's touched by the feelings of our infirmity. He knows how we feel. He knows every thought that we have. That's good news, brothers and sisters. We ought to thank God for forgiveness this morning. Let the church say forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, our country's judicial system uniquely protects its citizens against double jeopardy. When a defendant is pronounced not guilty or given a pardon, he may never be held accountable for that same crime again. But don't you know that Satan attempts to place us in spiritual double jeopardy? But I thank God he can't paralyze us with guilt because what Christ has done on the cross. So we have forgiveness. We can't lose. We have God's ultimate power. We can't lose because he gives us an unlimited supply by the Holy Spirit. We can't lose because he has given us forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, my last point is we can't lose because we have Christ's love. Let the church say Christ's love. Paul says, after establishing the fact that it is impossible for any person to take away our salvation, Paul anticipates a similar question that some will ask. Is it possible for the circumstances in my life to rob me, a believer, of my salvation? The apostle now tells us that that's also impossible because of the love of Christ, brothers and sisters. Never has there been any greater motivation for fighting than love. Men have won many battles against undefeatable foes because of love of country, love of family, or love of king. Paul reminds us that we too have an undefeatable motivation for victory. It's the love of God. We are undefeatable because nothing can separate us from that love. We can't lose because we have Christ's love. We can't lose because we have Christ's love. He gives us that love to help love somebody else. Hallelujah. Satan may attempt to knock us down, but we'll never be knocked out. We will win. We can't lose because we have Christ's love. The Interpreter's Bible says verses 35 is the believer's assurance, brothers and sisters. And there are many people who ask, why should I follow Christ and give him my life? They want to know, is this the sort of relationship that's going to last? Can I trust Jesus to stay with me even when things get rough, even when I mess up? So Paul scratches out a good old-fashioned list of things for the saved and the unsaved to signify that Christ will stay with us. Paul says through hardships, God will stay with us. Paul says through distress, God will stay with us. Paul says through inner turmoil, God will stay with us. Paul says through persecution, God will stay with us. You see, hardships and distresses and persecution may cause you to lose focus on God. But church, God will never ease up on his love for you. That's good news. You don't know what to shout. You might forget about him for 5 years. You might stop praying. You might stop seeking his throne. You might stop searching for answers in the scripture. But all the while, God will never stop whispering your name. He never stops thinking about you. He never stops adoring you, his child. Trouble may roadblock your lane heading north in the devotional life, but it cannot stop the indescribable love of God Almighty heading south to you, his child. God's love is relentless. It's like the cycles of the sun. The sun rises every morning, even if it's cloudy. The sun is shining somewhere, and God's love is shining in you today. Paul says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And so Paul lists these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. He did all that. In other words, to say there are lots out there that can make us want to give up. There's a lot out there that make us want to quit. There's a lot out there to make us want to throw in the towel. There's a lot out there to make us want to walk away from it all. There's a lot out there to take away our joy. But I'm glad glad Paul didn't end right there. Paul said, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? But I hear Paul say, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that word conquerors means we are super conquerors. Hallelujah. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, or any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. What a wonderful thing to know that God is on our side. We have ultimate power. We have unlimited supply. We have his forgiveness, and we got his love. Hallelujah. You might have some heartaches, but you got his love. You might have some rough decisions to make, but you got his love. You might feel sad sometimes, but you got his love. You need to tell yourself, I can't lose. With overwhelming odds, you can't lose. God will be your refuge, your strength, your very present help in a time of trouble. So no plague can destroy you. No addiction can defeat you. No haters can harm you. No predicament should depress you. No demon can delude you. No enemy can divide you. No difficulty can discourage you. No detractor can dismiss you. No authority can deny you. No grave can hold you. We can't lose. We have his love. He sustains us. We can't lose. We might be troubled on every side, but we won't lose. We might be cast down, but we won't lose. His love is enduring. His love is enabling. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't stress out. Don't trip. Don't take drugs. Don't do the crazy. Just trust God. Sickness may come, but Paul says nothing shall separate me. We can't lose. The enemy may come and assassinate your character, but nothing shall separate you. Nothing. You may lose your job, but nothing shall separate you. Let terrorists come, but nothing shall separate you. Let sickness come. Nothing shall separate you. Let your children act up, but nothing shall separate you. You might have bills you can't pay, but nothing shall separate you. When folks won't talk to you, nothing will separate you from the love of God. I don't care what's going on in your life. You can't lose, church. That's why Paul says, whatever's in your life, whatever's above your head, is under God's feet. Let no sickness, no divorce, no separation, no cancer, no diabetes, no heart attack, no stroke, no high blood pressure, nothing, no regret, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We have God's love. We can't lose because we're on God's side. I'm glad I have the assurance of God. God went fried on a hill called Calvary. He shared his love. They hung him high and stretched him wide, but put him in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he got up with love. Why did he get up? Because he loved you and he loved me. He loves us till he couldn't love us no more. Brothers and sisters, God loves us. We can't lose. God, thank you for your word. We can't lose. We have your unlimited power, unlimited supply. We have your forgiveness. But most of all, we have your love. We can't lose. Seal this word in your people's spirit. Let just their spirit inform their minds. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As Sister Bingham comes and we will read the sing the invitational hymn. Won't you come? All men, You can join this church as a candidate for baptism by letter or by Christian experience. Don't leave like you came. If you know you don't have a relationship with God, this is a mighty good place to be, to start your journey with God. Don't leave the way you came. The gospel has been preached. The doors of the church are open. You can come. As we continue. Amen. You may be seated, Pastor. I have a note from Anita. She needs to meet with the youth and young adults immediately following the service. We're at in the choir stand.
Amen. God bless. Thank you, Reverend, for a wonderful word from the Lord. Some of you can tell that I've lost some weight. I've lost some memory. I didn't need notes when I preached, but I've lost some memory. I've lost some hair. Lost some of my good looks. But I'm not lost on hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Despite my losses, I'm not over yet, because God is still real in my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you for your prayers and your concern and interest in me. But I'm still on the journey. He has never left me yet, and I dare not leave him. Thank you for the message today. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your Sunday school Bible study time. Stay in the Word of God. Keep the faith. Humble yourself in the mighty powers and love of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He's going to get me up in due time. Amen. Thank you. Any last word? All right, let's stand for our closing prayer. And now, Lord, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the love of God, sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest right among us until death does part us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.